This year, the panel did not recommend COVID-19 vaccinations. Instead, they opted to make it a personal choice. What was your feeling regarding that?
So the CDC, the ACIP, they have two sets of way they do recommendations. One is they'll just make a recommendation either based on age, such as over 65, you should get an enhanced flu vaccine, or by risk factor. If you have underlying liver problems, you should get a hepatitis A and B vaccine. Or they have what they call shared decision-making, meaning discuss the benefits and risks with your healthcare provider. I personally do think that the data is overwhelming, that the COVID vaccines are generally safe and the benefits greatly exceed the risks. That said, I'm glad that they made a recommendation of shared decision-making. They explicitly say on the webpage that that discussion can be handled not only by a physician, but registered nurses and pharmacists are also able to do the shared decision-making. So I think that I'm glad that there was a choice as opposed to no recommendation. And I say that because if a vaccine is not recommended as either give it or shared decision-making, then by law under the Affordable Care Act, the insurance company would not necessarily need to agree to pay for it. Again, if it's recommended by the CDC, insurance companies must pay for them. And two, if you have an adverse reaction from the vaccine, and this is all routine recommended vaccines, then there's a national vaccine compensation program so that if somebody was, in the hospital for 3 days, they would have all their costs covered. And again, if there is no recommendation, you don't fall within that. So because there is a shared decision-making, both of those are enforced, which I think is good protection for the public.
Has there been any reason, based on your experience, to delay or space out vaccines? And if people do that, does that put children at risk?
I see no reason to space out vaccines from the current pediatric schedule. Of course, a delayed vaccine means during that period of time, you're at risk of a serious infection and death potentially. We know the body can handle, there's no evidence that we're somehow overwhelming the immune system of the body. And in fact, you just take a look at the pneumococcal vaccine, the current ones that are available. They protect you against more than 20 different types of pneumococci. So essentially, when you get a pneumococcal vaccine, you're getting more than 20 mini vaccines built into that one dose. And the body responds perfectly adequate to all of those 20 different challenges with developing appropriate immunity. So there's no evidence that the body can't respond well to multiple vaccines. And of course, the goal is to give the vaccine before you get exposed to the disease.
As you referenced, there is a new flu strain that is spreading across the United States, H3N2, which is called subclade K. It is being tied to a growing number of cases overseas. It's also starting to grow in a number of states in America. So what do you know about this? And is this just another variation of the flu?
It is. So we have H1N1 and we have H3N2 of the two currently circulating influenza A types. The vaccine does contain both of those variants or strains in the current vaccine. What we don't know how well the subtype K will vaccine will protect against that, but we'll just have to wait and see. Now, last year we had a very heavy flu year. I think what's happening is, not only vaccines provide protection, but if you've had flu recently, that gives you some protection too. Of course, during COVID, we saw much less flu and RSV because people stayed home and wore masks. So I think people are somewhat more vulnerable now by not having some natural protection during that period of time. And of course, vaccine coverage, number of people receiving flu vaccine has decreased somewhat. So we did have a heavy flu year last year. We often follow what's happening in South America, and they had a heavy flu year their winter. Now, of course, it's their summer now. So I am expecting a substantial number of flu cases this year, but we don't know yet how well the flu vaccine works and whether this new K subvariant will affect the ability of the vaccine to protect people.
So what is your recommendation for people to stay safe?
So the first thing is get vaccinated. In an average year, the vaccine is protective in somewhere between 50 and 70%. But what you don't see in the statistics is the vaccine is better at preventing death than hospitalizations, better preventing hospitalizations than infections, meaning even if you get flu but you've been vaccinated, you're much more likely to have a milder case because of the vaccine. But we really don't see that. So the vaccine is clearly safe. We've used it for decades. We have thousands of people each year who die of the flu, hundreds of thousands who have to see their doctors or get hospitalized. So I strongly recommend everyone get the flu vaccine. It takes about 1 to 3 weeks to really give you full benefit. But we usually see a big bump around Christmas, New Year's, religious ceremonies, family gatherings, travel. And we usually don't peak, and we certainly haven't peaked yet, till late January to mid-February. So I encourage people to get their flu vaccine. That's number one. Number two is if you're sick, stay home. Talk to your health care provider. Don't infect loved ones and family and colleagues. If you're in a vulnerable group, substantially old, underlying heart disease, diabetes, renal disease, then if you do get ill, get tested for influenza. You can do it with over-the-counter tests or by your healthcare provider, because we have excellent treatments for flu these days, but they need to be started within 48 hours of starting symptoms. So you can't wake up Saturday morning, with a cough and some shortness of breath and say, well, let me see how I'm going to feel on Monday, and then I'll call my doctor. By then, it's really the drugs will not work as well. So you need to get tested again for particularly vulnerable people at high risk for bad outcomes. And then finally, masks work not only against influenza, but against COVID, RSV, and all the other respiratory viruses. So if you're going to be in crowded situations and you're older or you have underlying diseases, again, it's a personal choice, but consider wearing a mask when you're in airports or train stations or out shopping. That'll protect you against all the viral respiratory diseases.
Dr. David Weber, UNC physician, very kind to take some of his time out here during a busy day. Dr. Weber, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you again in 2026.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.